All right, this is a very advanced topic. You don't need to really know this, but in the future, it might become a little bit more more known. What do we say the structure of the aorta is like? It's elastic. So when the heart pumps, what does it do? It expands. Does that make it easier to pump or harder to pump? Easier to pump. So what's that going to do to the systolic number? Is that going to make the systolic number go up or down? We said it was easier. So force. Take more force or less force? Less force. So what does it do to the systolic number? It makes it go lower. Now, let's imagine for a moment that, say you had some scar tissue on your aorta, and it just doesn't expand as much. Is it going to be harder or easier to squeeze blood out of the heart? It's going to be harder. What's that going to do to the systolic number? It's going to go up. All right. So as the person gets older, their aorta becomes sclerotic, meaning scarred. It becomes less elastic and becomes more rigid. And so what does that do to our systolic number? It goes up. Now, let's also imagine for a moment. Question? No? Okay. The way you drink water? Okay, up. Got it. All right. Now, let's go back to our normal person whose aorta stretches. They pump blood. The heart pumps. Blood squirts out into the aorta. The aorta expands. Now the heart begins to relax. What happens to the valves in the heart? They close, so the blood can't get back into the heart. Now, that heart, that aorta that's full of blood now, as it begins, what does it do? It begins to contract a little bit, and it squeezes that blood. So what does that do to your diastolic pressure? Does it make your diastolic number go up or down? It makes it go up. Now, why would we want a high diastolic and a low systolic? So systolic means the amount of pressure it takes to pump the blood is low, and the diastolic being high means that when the heart's relaxed, the pressure is a little bit higher. Why would we want that situation? Why would we want them to be kind of closer together? All right, let me ask you this question. What happens when you work a muscle? But what happens to the muscle? Gets stronger and bigger. We call that muscular hypertrophy, hypertrophy. So, if you want to make a muscle bigger, you work it out. You give it more resistance. Now, what's the heart full of? Blood. So let's do this little test for just a second. All right, so here is your left ventricle. All right, now, it's made up of muscle layer, right? Now, if we work out the heart, give it resistance, something to really pump against, what's it going to do? Get bigger. So now, what's just happened to the chamber of the heart? It got smaller. Can it pump as much blood now? No. So what we want to do is we want the heart to pump and exercise, but not too much. We want it to be lean and mean. We don't want it to be big, because then it can't pump as much. So your elastic aorta allows your heart to not have to pump as hard. Now, why do we want the diastolic to be relatively high?
So, diastolic, when the heart's resting, you're still getting enough pressure to move the blood.
Okay, that
the heart doesn't have to work as hard.
That is part of it, because it helps to move the blood on down. But there's something else. I want you to think for a moment. What does the heart do 80 times a minute? It squeezes. Now, when it squeezes, what happens to the blood in its own arteries? Let's do this test for a moment. Everyone take a hand. Squeeze real hard. Hold it up to your forehead. Now, take the other hand. Hold it down here. All right. Now, take your hand that you've been squeezing and look at them together. Is one redder than the other? Why is that? You are squeezing all the blood out of this one. So it became pale. When your heart squeezes, what happens to the blood that are in its own arteries? It gets squeezed out. So the heart can only get oxygen when it is relaxed. So what you want to do is you want to give plenty of time for your heart to relax. But what is it that drives blood into its arteries? Diastolic or systolic pressure? It can only get blood when it's relaxed, which is called diastole. So diastolic pressure perfuses the heart. Now, this is a very advanced concept, and we'll cover it again when we get to pathopharm. So the elastic nature of your aorta does two things. What are those two things? It stretches. But what does it do to the heart? Lowers systolic pressure, which makes it not have to work as hard, and it increases diastolic, which increases the amount of blood perfusion of the heart. Not. Okay, good. Now, unfortunately, by the time you get to be about 40, guess what's starting to happen? You're starting to get that sclerotic aorta. So by the time you get to 40, you know, once you've lived past 40, your aorta is really starting to deteriorate. So, just so you know. And here is a picture of a human heart. Are we all familiar with the anatomy of this structure? Can we all trace a drop of blood through the heart? Because that would be an important thing to be able to do. All right. Let's take it back to actually taking the blood pressure now. So, seated, back supported, legs uncrossed, flat on the ground, arm supported at heart level, no caffeine or smokes for how long? 30 minutes. Stimulus-free room for how long? 5 minutes. Appropriate cuff size. Place the cuff correctly. So the cuff, the bladder part, is supposed to be over the artery. So how do we do that? The little arrow on the cuff. Make sure it's the right size. Manometer at eye level, so make sure that you're directly face on with the meter. Palpate the pulse first. This is all just take a palpated pressure. Then place your stethoscope and do it again. The first sound you hear is called, the last sound you hear is called diastolic. All right, what is normal blood pressure?
120/80.
All right, it is actually less than 120/80. We used to say 120/80 is normal. Now 120/80 is actually considered pre-hypertension. Now, what's high blood pressure? Okay, anything over 130/90 is considered high blood pressure. So in between that, we have what we call pre-hypertension. Now, the reason for that is because there's no true normal blood pressure. There's just ranges of pressure. And what they found throughout the years, way back in 1920, they found that people with higher blood pressure tended to die more often. So insurance companies started using blood pressure as a way to charge people more premiums who are at higher risk for dying. Now, over the years, what we've decided is that for most people, the best blood pressure, where people die the least, is getting lower and lower and lower. So even at 140, which used to be considered normal, there's still quite a large number of people who die from high blood pressure-related illness. Versus if you take it down to one less than 120, there's much fewer people who die of blood pressure-related illnesses. So that's why it's kind of been a moving target. And if you've been following healthcare, you know, back in the old days, they used to say normal is 100 plus your age. So if you were 80, normal would be 180. Now we say not so much. Now, there is one caveat there. If a person has been living with blood pressure of 180 or 160 for a long period of time, and if that person happens to be elderly, guess what will happen to them if you drop their blood pressure down to 120? They will get dizzy and fall. They might even die from shock because their body is just not used to it. So with elderly people, the idea would be to eventually get them down to 120, but you need to do it very slowly. So over the course of several months. All right, now orthostatic, we already talked about it a little bit. Gravity pulls blood down to the feet. So what we're wanting to do is measure the difference between lying down and either sitting up or standing up. So when a person sits up or lies or stands up, the blood pressure will go down slightly. What are the two things that cause orthostatic hypotension? Talked about it this morning in PathoPharm. Okay, not enough water, so dehydration or drugs. What drugs in particular? Alpha-1 blockers. What are the two alpha-1 blockers you're supposed to know? Terazosin and phentolamine. All right, so when you go home tonight, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be memorizing all of those things. Now, ordinarily, it takes most people about 1 second to 10 seconds to normalize their blood pressure when they stand up. A person who has orthostatic hypotension could take them 2 minutes to 10 minutes. So typically what you're going to do is you're going to have them lie down and then have them either sit up or stand up, wait 2 minutes, then take their blood pressure. So if you take it immediately afterwards, you're going to get people who are in that like 30-second to 1 minute range, which wouldn't necessarily be considered orthostatic hypotension. All right, final considerations. The first time you take a blood pressure, take it in both arms. Compare the arm and the leg pressure to rule out aortic coarctation. Now, this is not going to be that common in the hospital as far as you having to screen for this, but you do need to be aware that there's some conditions where a person's aorta is too narrow, somewhere in the middle. And the way you check for that is check blood pressure in the arm and the leg. Now, if they have a very narrow aorta, which is going to be higher, arm or leg pressure? Arm pressure. So if there's a big difference between arm and leg pressure, that's a sign of aortic coarctation. Now, most of the time in the hospital, if they have aortic coarctation, they're already going to know about it before they get to you. So all you'll do is you'll look at their chart and you'll say, history of aortic coarctation, and then you will know. But sometimes you might encounter a patient who's never been diagnosed, so you need to understand that that's how it's diagnosed. Or at least screened for. Never, ever take blood pressure in an arm when a patient has a shunt or port in that arm. A port is a permanent type IV or a longer lasting IV. And a patient who has had a mastectomy on that side, never take blood pressure. Because they don't have enough lymph nodes on that side. So when you start pumping up their arm, it gives them even more edema than before. Pacemaker doesn't matter. Say again.
With an mastectomy, even if they didn't have the lymph nodes removed, like cancer or regardless, do they still sample?
Yeah, if they've taken lymph nodes from that side, you don't want to take on that side. So there's different levels of mastectomy in terms of how much tissue they remove, but generally speaking, mastectomy on that side, don't take a blood pressure on that side.